with our brewery, we were really having a lot of fun with doing like traditional Chilean drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So like a fan chup, for example, is beer with Fanta.
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
decided to like do our version of that.
Cool.
Which was like 100% citra hops and orange pulp.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then
that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
I wish I could still try that.
Yeah, we did a melted.
You're listening to Pubcast Worldwide.
Greetings, thirsty listeners, and welcome to this episode of Pubcast Worldwide, the podcast where we get to know interesting people around the world, chatting with them over beers, cocktails, and other libations at the coolest pubs, bars, and breweries on the planet. I'm your host, Chris Lukey, an international beer bar researcher and kind of an international beer sampler as well. Let's put it that way. We're heading back to Chile today for the second half of our two-part Chilean beer edition. And this time, we're going to be heading to El Ernesto Mike, which is, in my opinion, one of the best craft beer bars in the city of Santiago. Funny enough how I stumbled upon this place. I had been pinging my network for a couple of recommendations of beer bars to check out around the city, and El Ernesto Mike happened to be the one that just kept on coming up. So early in my trip, I headed over there and immediately fell in love with the place. It's got a good vibe, great music, great beer, both from California as well as around Chile. So when it came time to look at spots to do pubcasts while I was down there, this was at the top of my list. While I was there, I met up with one of the owners of the bar, Ben Wood, and then one of his cicerones, Tommy G, for this conversation. Ben and Tommy are about to take us on an audio journey of the Chilean craft beer scene. So, what are the three things that you can expect from today's episode? Well, first, they're going to talk about some of the crazy things they're doing with beer down in Chile. You'll hear about a couple trends that are characterizing Chile's young scene, as well as some what I'll call beer concoctions that are some very creative takes on classic Chilean cocktails and beverages. That's one and two. And third, you're going to hear how some craft breweries are starting to become industrialized in the region and how that compares to some of the acquisitions we've seen from big brewers in the United States. To make a short story even shorter, if you're heading to Chile anytime soon, this is a great episode to listen to get a good sampling of the scene and what you should check out while you're down there. Before we get rolling today, let's give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Beer Cap Maps. You've heard us talk about Beer Cap Maps on the show before, but if you're just listening for the first time, a Beer Cap Map is a wooden cutout of a state or a country where you can collect and display bottle caps. I should say it doesn't just need to be a state or a country. They have a lot of different kitsch, including games and other things built around bottle caps. So definitely check them out at beercapmaps.com. And more important than anything, since you are a listener of this show, while you're there, don't forget to use the code BREWSLETTER, that's B-R-E-W-S letter, at checkout for 10% off your order. Again, that's beercapmaps.com. With that, we got another short episode for you, so put down that glass of Chilean wine and let's go drink some Chilean beer. We're heading to El Ernesto Mike in Santiago, Chile.
Grab a beer! Grab a stein!
All right, well, here we are at Pubcast Worldwide in Santiago, Chile. What neighborhood are we in right now?
Just so I've got some context. This is the street's called Los Leones. The metro stop's also called Los Leones.
Okay.
We don't exactly have a neighborhood, but we do have the metro is pretty much our our reference
That's
point.
Perfect.
But this is in Providencia, which is the municipality.
Got it. Cool. And I guess my biggest question is, how does a beer bar like this exist in Santiago, Chile? This is a fascinating spot. I walked in the door on, I think it was Thursday night. I'm like, I feel at home right now.
Yeah. Basically, I've been working in the beer industry for the better part of a decade. I used to work for a couple different brands in New York. And eventually I came down here in 2012.
Okay.
With the plan of importing beer to Chile. And then I met my business partner, Perry, who is another North American.
Yeah.
And he wanted to open up a store. So we kind of put our heads together.
Sure.
And got everything rolling. And then the store eventually turned into trying to open a bar. And this is actually our fifth attempt. To open a bar. Yeah.
Okay.
And this time it worked.
All right.
So yeah.
Can I ask what were the hurdles or the thing, the I guess whatever you call it that made it take five times?
Just, you know, it's like finding the right people, finding the right team.
Sure.
You know, like I've run a bar before,
yeah,
but I've never run a kitchen.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's like in here in Chile, you have to serve food.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured if we're going to serve food, let's serve really good food.
Yeah.
And do things right. Because, I mean, we could throw, you know, French fries in a dish and, you know, just keep cranking out beers if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But we were like, all right, let's try to make it a little bit more than that.
Sure.
So yeah, we found the right people. We found the right space, which was right under our nose
mm-hmm.
for mm-hmm. all these years.
Yep.
And yeah, it went from there.
Cool. Well, I guess the next question I have about the space is where's the California influence come from? From the beers to the skate punk vibe that you've got in there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not from California. I'm
yeah.
from Connecticut originally.
All right.
But I grew up in that sort of heyday time period where basically, yeah, it was like all of the Epitaph and Fat Records and all that good stuff was coming out. And I kind of always grew up with it. And I always grew mm-hmm. up with like old school punk rock and from the West Coast, from the East Coast, whatever. And then it happened that when we started importing beer, I used to work for Ballast Point
okay.
on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And that was the impetus to get all these other brands to come down here.
Yeah.
So it just happened like logistically that everything was from California.
Okay. All right.
And like we'd love to have some other stuff from Chicago or Colorado or North Carolina or wherever.
Yeah.
Have that stuff come in.
Well, it's a great mix you have there.
Thank
I mean, plus you have a lot of local Chilean beer.
Yes,
as well,
we do.
Too. And yep. that's probably one of my bigger questions. How would you characterize the Chilean craft beer scene?
Well, the Chilean craft beer scene, it's actually really young.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like you have Chilean character. It's not that you have like Chilean tradition, because there's no tradition and there's no character.
Mm-hmm.
We're just basically taking all the existing styles from the Americas, from North yeah. America, from Europe, Germany, and we're just trying to copy it the best way we can.
Yeah.
Basically, right now, there are really good lagers, there are really good IPAs. So we have a whole mix of somewhat good quality product
mm-hmm.
that we can offer to all the customers.
Mm-hmm.
We're also always aiming to not to fall like in the really big commercial industrialized
right.
kind of style of beers.
Mm-hmm.
Many breweries, especially in the past year, there's been like two big trends in the Chilean craft beer world.
Okay.
One is the hazy IPAs, and
yeah.
the other one is some really rich, heavy, and full-bodied imperial stouts.
Okay.
And there are just,
two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, the two ends of the spectrum. We have one big brewery, which is called Tamango.
Okay.
Tamango.
Okay.
Which is from Santiago.
Yep.
And they have had like 16, 17 beers by now, and I bet about 14 of them are just IPAs.
All right. That sounds like California
yeah,
to me.
it's they do have a really big California impact in it, because
mm-hmm.
the breweries were from California.
Okay.
Lived in California.
Yeah.
Then came back to Chile and went to stop the brewery.
Yeah.
But there is also this other brewery, Granizo, from Quilpue,
mm-hmm.
the fifth region of Chile.
Yeah.
Which they have been doing incredible imperial stouts, barrel aged
mm-hmm.
imperial stouts, things that go from rum barrels, wine barrels, pisco barrels,
mm-hmm.
you know, port barrels, and they all go up to 14% ABV. So
I had a beer in a from a Carmenere barrel the
right.
other day
yeah.
too. Yeah, so
yeah.
It's
Carmenere, Carignan, Sauvignon
mm-hmm.
Blanc, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, everything, everything.
Yeah. Well, you're certainly taking advantage of the local wine scene and just the things that make Chile special to begin with. Are there, because I remember when I came down here for the first time in 2013, Cross was about the main thing I came across. And it
yeah.
sounds like even though the scene is young, it's expanded quite
yeah.
a bit since then.
Yes. I mean, we do have to give Cross and Kunstmann like a really big thank you.
Yeah.
But nowadays, Cross and Kunstmann, they are crossing the line between industrialized beer and craft beer.
Sure.
And Chilean people really don't like that, especially the beer purists that are here in Chile.
Yeah.
And every day, Cross is like getting a bit smaller. They were bought recently by Concha y Toro, which is one of the biggest wineries.
Oh, the wine, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest wineries here in Chile.
Yeah. Sounds a little like what we have in the U.S. with spots like Ballast Point getting gobbled up by Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah. The same thing. Yeah. You know, Concha y Toro bought them, and you have right here, right beside you, their Imperial Stout, this year's version, which previous years were fantastic.
Okay.
And we tasted this new one, and it just wasn't the same.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same. It was the same thing that happened with Victory at Seas, the same thing that happened with Sculpin IPA.
Yeah.
And it's something that has to happen eventually, I guess, but it's not something that we really like about. We do really like, as I told you, there are many new breweries rising. Tamango is just over a year old, a year and a half old. We have our own brewery. Brivana has its own brewery, which is called Alameda Beer Company, which is like the third attempt to get a brewery. And this time it's working. So we're really grateful about that.
Sure.
We have made an American Pale Ale, an ESB style ale. We have a cream ale. We do have a porter style.
Yeah.
Then we just have some crazy shit going on around, which is, you know, some with candy stuff. Calugón Pelayo, which was this hard candy brown ale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just
Terremoto.
Terremoto.
Yeah. You have a Terremoto style beer now. All right.
Oh, this with Ryan Brooks. What was
We did a Margarita Goes.
All right.
We had like with our brewery, we were really having a lot of fun with doing like traditional Chilean drinks. So like a fan shop, for example, is beer with Fanta.
Yeah.
So we decided to like do our version of that.
Cool.
Which was like 100% Citra hops and orange pulp.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then
that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
I wish I could still try that.
Yeah, we did it. We did a Melvin, which is basically you take a honeydew melon and you chop the top off and you kind of scoop out the flesh.
Yeah,
and you dump a bottle of white wine in there.
Yep.
So we did a saison with honeydew. And then I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, Terremoto was pretty fun.
Terremoto was one of the best attempts.
Yeah, that was with Pipeño, which is like young. It's fermented wine, but it's unaged.
It's a young sweet wine.
Yeah, it's like super sweet and very high alcohol.
Yeah.
We used Azaka to mimic the pineapple ice cream.
Yep.
And then we got, I can't remember how many liters of fresh squeezed pomegranate juice.
Yeah.
To do like the grenadine.
Sure.
It was a lot of fun. And it was, you know, it was kind of red and murky and it was pretty awesome.
I love that. I'm actually going to be on my way to have one Terremoto before I fly out tonight.
Okay,
going to be my last thing to do here after, of course, having a beer next
door.
So, but for someone coming to Chile, this is my last question, unless you have any other very important tidbits to add. But what should people know when coming to Chile or Santiago, more specifically, to experience beer?
Wow.
It's a big question. That's why I saved it for the end.
Yeah. I think probably one thing to remember is that Chileans are kind of trying to find it's like there's this constant like search and quest for like what makes the identity of Chilean beer.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that there isn't. I mean, it's just like I think people are trying to make good beer and they're trying to do more experimental stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the same vein as, you know, the Americans or the Germans or, you know, the Belgians, whatever. But I think more than anything, it's like, you know, people are starting to use more local fruits and more things that are more like idiosyncratically Chilean.
Right.
Like I told you before, the wine barrel program from Granizo.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like, I think that's something to keep in mind that like we have, Chile is a great country with a lot of natural resources and a lot of crazy fruits that don't exist anywhere else.
Right.
And hopefully that continues to grow.
So yeah. No, that's a great one. I'm noticing that as kind of a global trend. That's what Japan's been doing with their beer as well, too.
Sure.
For something distinctly Japanese, they take the Japanese fruit. So,
sure.
Well, everything I've had here has been great so far. I can have some of the beers I'm looking at right now on the wall back at home in California, but I tried to stick to the Chilean beers and you guys are doing great stuff. So, with that, Tommy G, Mike Wood, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
So, and
thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great. And for those of you listening, we will catch you next time.
Cool.
Salud.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening, and a big thanks to El Ernesto Mike for hosting us. Thanks a bunch to Tommy G and Ben Wood, not Mike Wood. I screwed that up. I think I actually called him Dan Wood as well. So, Ben, if you are listening, I sincerely apologize for getting that wrong so often. But to an extent, that's what you get for calling your bar El Ernesto Mike. Anyway, if you're going to Santiago anytime soon, we've created a quick list of beer joints to hit up while you're down there in a short blog post where you can also find this episode at pubcastworldwide.com. Just head to pubcastworldwide.com/Santiago to check out that list of beer bars that you should be exploring while you're in the city. While you are at our website, make sure you sign up for our monthly brews letter where we send out some highlights from the episodes as well as some stories behind beer as well as what you should be drinking. Consider it to be a little bit of a bonus or some behind-the-scenes footage of what you don't get to hear on Pubcast Worldwide. Speaking of our brews letter, one more shout out and thank you to our sponsors for this episode, Beer Cap Maps. Again, these are decorative cutouts of states and countries and other things to display bottle caps along with bottle cap related games, really anything to do with beer bottle caps. They are great gifts for the beer lover in your life. And since you are a listener of this show, make sure you use the code BREWS LETTER, BREWS LETTER, at checkout for 10% off your order at beercapmaps.com. With that, that's it for our trip to Santiago, Chile, and South America. We've got some more long-form episodes coming up for you soon. I think you're going to dig those, so stay thirsty. We'll catch you back here on Pubcast Worldwide real soon. Cheers!